What's up, Rams fans, and welcome to another episode of the Rams Wire Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Cameron DeSilva. You can follow us on Twitter at the Rams Wire, and if you'd like to give me a follow, you can find me at Cam DeSilva. So we're in the midst of free agency and the whole buzz around the offseason when all the moves are being made, trades are becoming official. Teams are kind of reshuffling their roster and exploring what's out there and seeing who they're going to be able to re-sign of their own free agents. We've seen a ton of deals already go down. Kirk Cousins is going to Washington, Case Keenum to Denver, Avery Williamson is going to the Jets. You've got big name guys, Sammy Watkins, obviously, Trumaine Johnson. So a lot of these guys are already flying off the board. Malcolm Butler is getting a big contract, just to name a few. Really, it's these wide receivers that are getting the big money that we saw on Monday and Tuesday. But there's a lot that's been happening with the Rams specifically, too. As I mentioned, Sammy Watkins and Johnson are both gone. They re-signed a couple of their own to bring them back for 2018. But there's still a lot of work to be done. So we're going to preview free agency a little bit more, kind of see who's still out there, who's been signed, where the Rams might look next, to see kind of who they're going to bring in from last season, whether it's their own free agents or a couple of guys that they could go out and sign in free agency. So we'll get right going. We'll start off with Sammy Watkins and his contract with the Chiefs. He's leaving for $48 million for 3 years. That comes out to an average of $16 million per year. Incredibly, there's $30 million guaranteed in that contract. So the Chiefs are investing a lot in a player who has only had one 1,000-yard season in his career. He looked kind of not like the best receiver on the field with the Rams, which is kind of surprising after they gave up a second-rounder and Gaines to go and get him, especially in their number one scoring offense. You'd think he'd have a bigger role. But that wasn't the case. So the Chiefs went out, struck a big deal with him, and they kind of surround Patrick Mahomes with a lot of talent there. Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt, Sammy Watkins. So they have a great core of not only receivers, but essentially just skill position players in Kansas City. And Watkins just adds to that. And his skill set really fits well with what the Chiefs want to do with Patrick Mahomes. He's a big-armed guy. He has a little bit of Brett Favre in him where he's going to take chances downfield and make big-time throws deep. So he's got a lot of promise there heading to the Chiefs. As far as Kansas City goes, that's a lot of money to invest in a player who is all about potential, really, at this point in his career. There's no telling that he's ever going to become worth the first-round pick, the top-five pick that the Bill spent on him a few years ago, but he does have the skill set, so we'll keep an eye on that. And as far as how the Rams are going to replace him, there's a number of options out there, which we'll get to in a little while. But the benefit of not re-signing Watkins is that they're going to get a third-round compensatory pick back in the draft next year. Adam Schefter said that, so that it's likely to happen, especially given his contract and the money that he got. He's one of the top paid receivers in the NFL now. So essentially the Rams are going to, you could look at the trade as the Rams giving up a second rounder and Gaines for Watkins and a third rounder in 2019. When you look at it that way, it doesn't look like that bad of a deal. Obviously they would have liked to get more out of Watkins, but he made some big time catches. He was solid when it came to making grabs in the red zone and being physical and all that. So really, a lot of people are ridiculing the Rams for making that deal and for not keeping him for more than one season. But it's really not that terrible. You took a chance on a player who had a good amount of potential. You knew he was in the final year of his contract. So it's a chance they thought was worth taking, and evidently it didn't work out, but it didn't cost him that much. I teased replacements a little bit. I talked about them on the website. You can find that link on the ramswire.com. But as far as replacements go, I listed Dante Moncrief among them. Taylor Gabriel is a guy that I really liked. Both of those guys are off the market, but Josh Reynolds is there in Los Angeles already. So you can have him kind of step into that starting role. He did that a little bit when Robert Woods went down. So he's a guy with good speed, good length. He's a tall receiver. So when it comes to jump balls and deep passes downfield, he can make those catches over other defenders. Obviously, you'd like to see him be a little more physical. He's not the strongest or most physically imposing player out there. Out of Texas A&M, a lot of the knocks on him were that his frame was wiry and he didn't really fill his frame yet. But he's still young and he has a lot of time to kind of bulk up and become a more physical receiver. As far as the draft goes, two guys that I think the Rams not necessarily will target, but they're guys that would fit well with what they want. DJ Chark out of LSU. He's a speed guy. He ran a 4.32, I think, at the combine. It was one of the fastest times, if not the fastest. At LSU, he had horrible quarterback play. Really, he didn't get the ball enough in, as much as he should have because of their run-heavy offense. But he's a really good speed threat downfield. He's got good size. Really, he needs to be a little bit like Reynolds. He needs to be a little more physical. His route running isn't exactly refined. But the potential is there, and he's someone that is possibly going to go in the first round. I don't think the Rams are going to use their first rounder on a wide receiver, but if they opt to trade back and move back into the second round or even later in the first round to keep that fifth-year option, he's someone that you never know. They could target depending on how the rest of free agency goes. They're pretty much set at cornerback. They need linebackers. A nose tackle would be nice, but wide receiver after losing Watkins it definitely gets bumped up a little bit as far as needs go. Another guy in the draft who I like is Equanimeous St. Brown. He's the guy with the best name in the draft, and he's out of Notre Dame, excuse me. He's a big receiver. He ran really well at the combine. He's not the most polished receiver when it comes to running routes and consistency and effort. So obviously you want to see more out of him in that regard, but Sean McVay is someone who can definitely motivate a player and get the most out of him. So as a third, fourth round target, possibly second, it wouldn't be bad for the Rams to take a flyer on him. He's kind of got a similar skill set to Watkins in the fact that he's good after the catch. He can make catches downfield. He's got good enough size and speed to win against bigger and faster defenders. So he's a guy that I would keep an eye on as we kind of lead into the draft. And depending on what the Rams do in free agency, he's someone that they might be able to target. A couple of outside options. These are kind of just flyers that I'll throw out there. Devontae Parker is someone who might be available via trade from the Dolphins. Miami did just bring in Danny Amendola as a free agent. And they also signed Albert Wilson, so they added two receivers there. And Parker hasn't had the best career there up to this point. There was a rumor a little while ago that the Dolphins were exploring a trade for between him and Martavis Bryant of the Steelers. So there are some whispers out there that the Dolphins would try to move him and kind of recoup some assets after spending a first-round pick on him. But as far as right now, there's no definitive reports or signals that the Dolphins are even going to try to explore that. And another guy who kind of came available on Tuesday after the Packers released him is Jordy Nelson. He's obviously at the tail end of his career. He's not the young speed guy that he used to be, especially after all these injuries. But if the Rams are looking for a veteran guy who can come in for a season or two, kind of take some pressure off of Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp and be a nice red zone threat for Jared Goff. Jordy Nelson is someone that they could explore. Personally, I wouldn't go after him. I wouldn't offer him that much money, if anything. But if the Rams do opt to go the veteran route, which they've been known to do in the past, Nelson is obviously the best guy available just because of his experience, his route running, his time that he spent with Aaron Rodgers and being a really solid pass catcher for him, maybe the best of Rodgers' career. So Jordy Nelson is someone who's available. I don't really expect the Rams to go after him, but nonetheless, he's out there. As far as the next free agent that the Rams did lose, obviously it's Trumaine Johnson. He signed a five-year deal with the Jets. It's reportedly worth around $14.5 to $15 million per year. So that'll make him one of the highest paid cornerbacks in the NFL. I think he'd be tied for second in that regard. So obviously a huge contract for him. The more money he got, the better it was for the Rams, just because of the whole compensatory draft pick formula. So like Watkins, Adam Schefter reported on Wednesday that the Rams are likely to get a third rounder in 2019 after losing Trumaine Johnson. So that's obviously good news for them. And that's why I said the more money he got, the better it was for Los Angeles. The Rams were prepared for him to go. They kind of saw this coming, even though as much as they talked about wanting to re-sign him and bring him back, it was never really a strong possibility, especially after tagging LaMarcus Joyner and having Aaron Donald to pay and all these players that they have hitting the free agency market. But they did prepare for it by signing trading for Aqib Talib, trading for Marcus Peters. They also went out and signed Sam Shields. Obviously, they brought back Nickell Roby-Coleman. So they were definitely prepared for this. It's a strong draft class, a lot of free agents out there. So they didn't really have an issue letting him leave in free agency, and that's evidently why they did. Like I said, they get a third rounder in return. So after paying him twice on the franchise tag, he made more than $30 million, I think it was, the past 2 years. It's really a nice payday for him and some financial stability. I think there's even $11 million in injury guarantees built into his contract too. So if those injury concerns do ever bubble back up, he's protected by that, and he has some assurance that he's still going to get paid. As for the Rams, that contract was just way too expensive for their liking. I could see them bringing him back for $11 million maybe, but almost $15 million per year for 5 years is a lot of money to pay a cornerback who in the past couple of seasons has really just ranked as one of the average cornerbacks in the NFL. Granted, he does shadow number one receivers and do all that you expect from a shutdown corner, but he hasn't had the most success doing that. So the Rams move on. They get two guys in Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters, who are really two number one cornerbacks on the roster. They get to keep them on either side of the field. The quarterback has no easy target, really, in the secondary. And now they have good depth at cornerback. So that's really not that big of a deal. It was a move that was expected for the Rams, and now they move on. As for how that affects their plans in round one of the draft, I can't really see them going after a corner at number 23 now. After acquiring Peters and Talib and signing Shields and re-signing Nickell Roby-Coleman and Troy Hill, they have really good depth at cornerback and in the secondary, so it's hard to see them going after a corner in round one when there's a couple of other positions that could use a little bit more attention. So you could kind of rule out Josh Jackson probably. Denzel Ward is going to be gone by then. Isaiah Oliver isn't someone I don't think they'll draft in the first round. Granted, you never know, just because you have Talib, who's he's at the end of his career and he's only signed through 2019. And you also have Sam Shields, who's a big question mark, and Kayvon Webster with his injury. So you never know. They could go after a cornerback still, but I'd expect them to look somewhere else on the defense at that position, or at that part of the draft, excuse me. Nickell Roby-Coleman signed an extension on Tuesday night. It's a three-year deal worth $5.25 million per year, so that comes out to $15.75 million total. He made less than $1 million this past season, so that's obviously a huge raise for him on the free agent market. The Rams never let him get there, although he was available for negotiating during the legal tampering period. The Rams were able to bring him back, keep him in California. He went to school at USC. So it really was an obvious fit for them and for him. So they get their slot corner back for next season. He was one of the better players at his position in 2017, and it just adds more depth at the position for the Rams. Like I said, you have Talib, Peters, Shields, Roby-Coleman, Kayvon Webster, Troy Hill, Kevin Peterson. The list goes on and on for them at the cornerback position. So they're in really good shape moving forward, and I don't really see a reason why they'd have to go out and even add another corner in free agency. They've attacked that position with a great amount of aggressiveness and gone out and gotten players that Wade Phillips obviously likes and believes that he can turn into top level starters, and it's become one of the better secondaries in the NFL. As far as other free agents go, Ndamukong Suh is expected to become available. He's going to be a post June 1st cut by the Dolphins. His cap hit was $26 million this year, which is the highest of any non-quarterback by a wide margin. There's been some speculation among fans who want to kind of see the Rams go after him and bring him in and make him a part of their defense. They reportedly wanted him back in 2010 in the draft. They didn't take him. And now they get a chance to kind of redeem themselves and pair him with Aaron Donald and Michael Brockers. Eric Dickerson is doing his part in recruiting him on Twitter and trying to get him to sign with the Rams. Obviously, he's not available yet because he's going to be a post June 1st release to kind of save more money for the Dolphins. But you never know. I highly doubt they're going to spend that amount of money on a player before signing Aaron Donald to a contract extension. I think it would kind of be a slap in the face for him and for the Rams as an organization. But we've seen stranger things happen this offseason, whether it's the Tlaib trade, the Peters trade, Alec Ogletree leaving, Robert Quinn getting traded. So you really never know with this front office, and they're going to try to be aggressive, and we'll see what happens there. As for his price, who knows if he's going to be even in their range for annual salary. After what he's made, who knows? He might take a pay cut and kind of realize that he's made enough money in his career and he'd rather go to a contender and compete for a Super Bowl. But I'd imagine he'd get anywhere from $10 to $15 million on the open market when he does get there. That sweet spot is kind of $12 million per year. Even that would be expensive for the Rams considering how much money they have sunk into Brockers and how much they're going to put into Donald. But with the way that you can restructure contracts and cut players, Mark Barron, someone who could be released, they would be able to possibly free up enough space to sign him. Again, I doubt that happens, but who knows. Leading into that, another player who could be a cap casualty for the Rams is Kayvon Webster. I talked a little bit earlier about him being a possible cap casualty. I wrote about it on RamsWire. But he's someone who he's not guaranteed to play in 2018 because of the injury that he suffered. He ruptured his Achilles in December. It's not an injury that you come back from relatively quickly. It could take up to 12 months, 11 months to recover from completely. So looking at that, you could have him back in November, December, possibly the last four or five games of the season at best. He's being paid $3.7 million about for 2018, which is not a huge amount to pay a starting cornerback, but given his injury, there's no telling when he's going to be back. If the Rams do want to release him and save some money and kind of build their salary cap, they can release him and save $3.17 million. That's a good amount of money to save for a player who may not even play in 2018. He's almost guaranteed to begin the season on the PUP list, possibly on IR. If he lands on injured reserve, it's going to take a minimum of 8 weeks for him to get back. So you could be paying someone more than $3.5 million to sit on injured reserve all year and not play a single snap. Some people on Twitter are saying that I'm crazy for suggesting that they'll release him and they don't think it's a wise move, but you have so much depth at cornerback that you almost don't need him even when he does come back. You have Tlaib, you have Peters, you have Roby Coleman. Those are your three starters set almost in stone for week one. As long as they're healthy, they're going to be the three cornerbacks on the field when the Rams come out in week one. You obviously have Shields and Hill as depth guys, and they're capable of playing inside and out. So with all that depth, it's hard to imagine Webster carving out a role next season where he can make a significant impact. So that being said, why not release him, save some money, and kind of put it towards either re-signing someone like John Sullivan or giving Aaron Donald his big contract extension? Webster, it's the last year of his deal, so he's not going to be around in 2019 unless the Rams re-sign him. So there's a chance that they'll cut their losses and realize that he's not going to have a big role this next season and move on from him. That could happen anywhere from now until training camp, when they kind of get a better idea of his injury, the severity, and how long it's going to take him to come back. But that's just something to kind of keep an eye on, that and Mark Barron, who's another guy who the Rams can save $7 to $9 million by releasing him between now and June 1st. So that's more money for them to save, more money for them to get towards Aaron Donald. And it's a money saving move that for a player who doesn't exactly fit the defense perfectly. Circling back to free agency, after talking about the cap casualties and draft and all these players that have signed and haven't signed, let's take a look at some of the guys who I thought would be targets for the Rams who have already come off the market. Dante Moncrief signed with the Jags. He got a good amount of money from them. He's someone who could have been a deep threat for Jared Goff, kind of filling in for Sammy Watkins. Taylor Gabriel, he was with the Falcons before. Now he's signing with the Bears. He's kind of a Tavon Austin type player, but a much more refined receiver who can do way more on the field rather than just taking handoffs out of the backfield. Weston Richburg is a center from the Giants who he's signing with the 49ers. He would have been a youth upgrade and maybe a better player than John Sullivan. The Rams would have gotten cheaper at the position, but he also would have been more expensive. So not exactly a huge loss there. These next two guys are two players who I thought would be big targets for the Rams after trading Alec Ogletree. Avery Williamson is signing with the Jets. He's getting a hefty amount there. He's the perfect fit for a 3-4 defense at inside linebacker. He's a thumper, really good against the run, one of the better linebackers against the run this past season. And then Anthony Hitchens is signing with the Chiefs, who's formerly of the Cowboys. He's another good run defender, not great in space when he is asked to drop into coverage and do things like that against tight ends and receivers. But as a run defender, he would have been a really, really nice fit for the Rams next to Mark Barron if they do keep him. And lastly, Nigel Bradham is re-signing with the Eagles. He's someone who played a good role for them on their Super Bowl run. Really did a good job for them filling in for Jordan Hicks and another, and their whole linebacking core really just kind of solidifying it. And then lastly, Paul Richardson got a 5-year, $40 million deal from the Redskins. He was a former Seahawks receiver. He never really carved out a big role in Seattle, but with his speed and leaping ability, we saw him make some really good highlight reel catches for the Seahawks over the past few years. He would have been a nice piece to kind of replace Sammy Watkins as a more affordable option, although not that much more affordable. So those are some guys who have come off the board. Fortunately, as I'm saying this now, obviously things can change. But John Bostic, for some guys who are still available out there, John Bostic, the linebacker from the Colts, he's played for the Bears and the Patriots before. He's still out there, a good run defender, good athleticism at the linebacker position, someone who can kind of come in and replace Alec Ogletree and become a really nice run defender in the Rams defense. Todd Davis is someone who played for Wade Phillips during their Super Bowl run with the Broncos. He's someone who a lot of fans have been pounding the table for. Rams fans want him back in LA with Wade Phillips. He's someone who is still on the market, and there's a chance that the Rams would bring him in. And I think that would be a really good addition because he is a good run defender, one of the better ones in the NFL this past season. On the offensive line, Ryan Jensen and Travis Swanson are two centers for the Ravens and the Lions, respectively. Again, it depends on what the Rams want to do with John Sullivan, whether they want to bring him back, let him walk in free agency. It's really left up to that for what they're going to do in free agency as far as outside options go. If they re-sign Sullivan, don't expect them to go after anyone. They also have Austin Blythe there, who backed up Sullivan this past year. He can play guard, he can play center. So there's some good depth there. But if they do opt to let John Sullivan walk, which I don't really see happening because of his age, his veteran presence, how well he worked with Jared Goff, and he has experience with Sean McVay, I don't really see them letting him leave. But you never know in free agency. He could get a big offer to kind of close out his career with another team. Going back to the linebacker position, Zach Brown is someone who I expected to have a fairly strong market when he did hit free agency. But he's someone who can come in, play inside linebacker in the 3-4 defense for Wade Phillips and replace Alec Ogletree. Again, a nice run defender, which is something where the Rams do have to improve greatly. So he's someone I'd keep an eye on, formerly of the Redskins, as are these two players, Junior Gallette and Trent Murphy. Two outside linebackers, pass rushers, veteran guys who have good experience. Gallette has some injury history. He hasn't played all that much. He played 16 games this past season, but the previous 2 years in Washington, he hardly played because of injury. And Trent Murphy is a nice outside linebacker, good versatile pass rusher. He can play either side. So those are two more guys that I'd look at. And then you have Navarro Bowman, who I don't expect the Raiders to let get away. He was one of their run defense after he signed there last offseason, improved dramatically. So he is someone who definitely brings some value. And even though he has had two major knee injuries and doesn't look like the same player exactly with his explosiveness and speed running sideline to sideline, when he comes downhill, he's a sure tackler, wraps up ball carriers, and really makes good plays against the ball. I don't know if the Raiders are going to let him walk. I kind of expect them, given their linebacking situation, I kind of expect them to bring him back and make him their starting linebacker in 2018. But if he does get away, and you never know, I think the Rams would be wise to give him a call and kind of try to bring him in there next to Mark Barron. Lastly, we're going to finish this off with a meeting that the Rams did have at Washington's Pro Day over the weekend. It was with Vita Vea, who is arguably the best nose tackle in the draft. He's a big 300, almost 50-pounder, plays nose tackle. He's someone who analysts are raving about because of his athleticism, his size, his ability to rush the passer. Everything like that. He's really the whole package at nose tackle. But there, of course, are questions about how valuable one technique and zero technique nose tackles can be in the NFL. We just saw the Browns trade away Danny Shelton after spending a first-round pick on him. It's just not a huge position of need that's prioritized by teams and GMs and coaches. When you can get bigger bodies for cheap on the open market in free agency, you can also wait later in the draft to draft someone at that spot. So I find a hard time believing that the Rams are going to look at that position in the draft when you do need three, possibly four starting linebackers inside and outside. You could use possibly a center, possibly a wide receiver. They got by with a rotation of guys like Tanzel Smart, Ethan Westbrooks this past season. But they obviously need to improve their run defense and get better in that spot. And Vea is definitely someone who can help in that regard. So the Rams did meet with him at the Pro Day. It was one of their official meetings with the prospect. So we'll see where that goes. But again, whether he's there or not at 23, it's going to be hard to imagine them spending a first-round pick on a nose tackle, even though they do need to improve their run defense. So that's where we'll leave you. There's obviously going to be a whole bunch of moves happening in the next week or so. We'll absolutely keep you guys up to date on everything happening as it pertains to the Rams, just general free agency. I'm usually pretty up to date on all the signings and trades and stuff on Twitter at Cam DeSilva. You can follow me there. with specific Rams news. As always, you can find us at theramswire.com and on Twitter at theramswire. We're hopefully going to do another podcast next week and kind of talk about the moves that the Rams have made after the first wave of free agency, possible trades, re-signings, things like that. So keep it locked into the Rams Wire, and we'll stay up to date until next week.